passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
It's Monday, a new month has arrived, and we thank you for dropping by. I have a feeling today will be memorable. Good afternoon, and welcome to the rest of the season right here. And we start with some headlines, and Billy Napier is in the news. Don't know that we've been beat up like that. Did you miss the Utah game, Coach? Billy Napier after a disastrous performance against the Cats. We'll have full reports on that later. Is the big blue wall back? Kentucky O-line stock is up after, a beatdown of the Gators. Ray Davis, the man. But can they beat the Dogs? Who would have thought this was the biggest game of the year in the SEC to date? It's Saturday in Athens, much more later in the week. Winner of this game has the inside track, of course. You knew that already. Georgia is the favorite, but this does not feel like 2 years ago when that was somewhat of a fake showdown. In the West, Brian Kelly is looking for answers, and he decided to bring back Pete Jenkins. Yes, Pete coached for Saban at LSU, Ogeron, and now he is back. We will ask Brian Kelly that as he does show up here on Tell the Truth Monday. Jimbo Fisher versus Nick Saban. Where have you heard that one before? They meet again this Saturday afternoon. 2 years ago at night, it was the Fighting Aggies. This year, Bama a slight favorite. Everybody thinks this is the whole West. They're forgetting LSU. And after Saturday, understandably so. But this is the biggest game in the West to date. Matt Hayes joining us. He'll have some Gator conversation about Billy Napier. So will Nick DeLator. David Uppen, he's been on that Colorado beat for about a year. And Michael Katz on Lane Kiffin's signature win. We have calls, and we are going to start off with this lady is apparently in, do I understand correctly, Debbie, you're in class right now, you're in school?
Hey, Paul, thanks so much for taking my call. We actually just dismissed, so it's okay that I'm on the phone with you right now.
I was worried about that. That's why I rushed right to you.
Oh, my God. Well, thanks so much. I've got a question for you. The first thing I want to say is I'm a lifelong Georgia fan, and I really appreciate the Auburn fan base. It's so great to look at their stadium, and they have such a great crowd there. My best friend from college, she and her husband live in a house that's like, and they just—I mean—they really came out and they played for all they were worth.
They really did.
They really did. You know, as a dog fan, I've been watching for the last 2 years, really delighted because we've had a generational defense. Things have really been moving in a direction that many of us didn't even think was possible. Right? We kind of always knew we could be there, but really believing it. After the Mark Richt years when we were so close and we didn't have it, now we're in a different place. But it feels a little like we're slipping back to what we were before. And maybe that's to be expected because you can only be generational for a short period of time, right? And then hopefully we're just going to be awesome. But my question for you is the problems that Georgia has been facing lately, if you could bring back one player or coach from the 21-22 or 22-23 season, which individual would that be to solve the problems that we're now facing?
Well, I think defensively, N'Kobe Dean might be the answer. And offensively, I think the real question is what happens now that we're seeing Ladd McConkey again? Because, he has been limited until Saturday. And he's a critical player. Thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. I mean, everybody's talking about Bowers. We knew that. But McConkey could also play a big role. One thing we are going to get into is the defensive side of LSU in just a moment. Don't forget, Brian Kelly joining us. He's been with us a couple of Mondays, and we appreciate him doing that. Very eager to hear Brian Kelly talk about what happened Saturday in Oxford. As we say hello to Dwayne next.
Breaking news out of Baton Rouge. Matt House got fired. Matt House got fired. Breaking news out of Baton Rouge. Matt House got fired. Brian Kelly gonna tell you. I ain't gonna tell you no more. Brian Kelly gonna tell you.
Dwayne, Dwayne, let me ask you, what do I need to get rid of my playoff tickets and see LSU in the CFP? What's going on here?
Yep, you need to get rid of them. I got rid of them. I ain't worried about that. Brian Kelly next. If you don't get it straight, he next. He better get it straight. He better beat Texas A&M and Alabama, or he out of there. He better beat Missouri. He going to Missouri this week. He better beat them. Or he don't. He out of there. Ask him that question when you talk to him. Ask him that. If he loses against Missouri, that's where he's going to be at.
You do not sound happy, Dwayne.
No, I ain't happy. You know, didn't know why I ain't happy. Matt House is fired. Breaking news. Hey, Brian Kelly, when you talk to him, actually, Matt House got fired. Everybody want his head. Everybody in Baton Rouge. Hey, we don't play that in Baton Rouge. We do better than Marcus Bears.
Do you realize LSU can still win the West just like the last year?
I don't care. He got to go. He got to go. That Ole Miss. That defense didn't do nothing. That defense didn't stop nobody. You seen that, Paul? You seen that? We did better with Moses Spears.
About 30 missed tackles. I did see that.
Man, you saw more than 3 missed tackles. Just a whole bunch of missed tackles. Just a whole bunch of stuff. They couldn't do nothing. I did better with Marcus Spear. Hey, Marcus Spear, you need to come back. You need to be our defensive coach. You know what I'm saying? Tell Marcus Spear. Yeah. Hey, breaking news. Matt Howell.
Dwayne, I don't think you want Marcus Spears right now.
Why not? Why not? He played college ball. He know the coaches. Huh? Why not? He played defensive line.
I'm not sure anymore, but Dwayne, why don't you keep it in the real world here instead of fantasy land?
There ain't no fantasy land. Breaking news. Matt House is fired. That's Brian Kelly that when you talk to him.
Oh, well. I expected more out of you today, Dwayne. I expected you to support your team.
I ain't supporting nobody. I ain't supporting no LSU right now. They better, if they lose this Saturday, they out of that. Hey, Brian Kelly out of that too. Ask him that question there. If he lose against Missouri, where you going to be at? Out of that. Out of that. He out of that. If he lose to Missouri. If he lose any more game, he out of that. Ask him that. Tell the fans from Baton Rouge, say, if you lose any more game, they want you out of that. Ask them that question when you talk to them.
You sound like a reactionary. That's one thing we don't like here is reactionary fans. Let's get a calm, intelligent fan. John is up next.
You said intelligent? Let me go find someone. Hey, I think Dwayne was so upset he swam back to the oil platform, don't you?
He needs to go back on the rig.
Hey, it's Manic Monday, but two quick items before I discuss some bad coaching. I'll let BK do his own bit. But David Hale wrote one of his best recaps this Sunday on ESPN. It's a must read. I don't know if you saw it or not.
Yeah, I read it every Sunday morning.
Yeah, it was great. And just a quick item. I picked my daughter up on Thursday about 4:15 p.m., and she said, I had the radio on, and she said, how's Legend doing? And then he comes on, eviscerates the Four Musketeers, and then all the usual suspects came on, and she had this comment. She says, it's like soap opera. You can go away for 4 months, and it's the same show all again. So, anyways, quick item on the coaching. Shane Beamer throwing the passing the ball down his deep end just before the end of the second or first half was bad. Lincoln Riley can't spell defense. Deion Sanders needs to take a course in clock management. How did Billy Napier ever beat Tennessee? Those were the takeaways I had. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, Let me get to a break here because we need to get to Brian Kelly. But, John, thank you very much. We'll delve into that in a moment. Brian Kelly is straight ahead.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back, and we are really delighted to say hello again to Coach Brian Kelly from LSU as the Tigers move forward here in the month of October. Coach, for some reason, I don't know why, I'm sure when you got to your office today, doing this show had to be number one on your list as opposed to trying to deal with Saturday night. Good afternoon.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, it all comes with, developing a football team. Certainly disappointing, to go down there and have the lead up 9 points with, 5 minutes to go and let it slip away. But look, this is what college football is about. You've got a number of transfers and some young players, and you got to develop your football team. So we'll look to bounce back and go on the road against a really good Missouri football team.
Coach, I know so much, those of us on this side make it out to be coaching strategy and big moments, but I've talked to a number of people today that talked about the fundamentals of just tackling. I don't know how you deal with that, but it seemed like there were an inordinate amount of missed tackles in this game on your team's side.
Yeah, I mean, look, we'd like to be able to blame it somewhere, but at the end of the day, you got to put your players in a position where, they're confident that they can go and make some plays. And, we've got some young players that are in key positions, high leverage stress positions that, we've got to get them to make some plays. And so part of that is coaching and part of that is playing. It's always going to be that, right? It's going to be a combination of coaches, coaching their players and players executing. And so we're in it together. We do have some young players and look, but everybody's got to play with young players across the country. We've got to get our young guys in these key situations to get the ball on the ground. And we had an inordinate amount of plays that were big plays because we didn't get the ball on the ground.
We're chatting with Coach Kelly as his team gets ready to take on undefeated Missouri this weekend in Columbia. And I didn't mean to spend too much time looking back, but I do want to take your attention forward because this is a Missouri team that has surprised a lot of people, if not everyone so far, sitting and waiting for you in Columbia undefeated.
So first of all, they're well coached on both sides of the ball. Number one in pass efficiency. Eli's done a great job in carving out an offense that really suits the personnel. And I think that's important when we look at, what does your personnel suit what you do? And they run the outside zone very well. The offensive line is well coached. They've got tough backs. The quarterback's playing at a high level. And they've got an outstanding difference maker at the wide receiver position. So I think they do a great job. And I think on defense, fundamentally sound, keep the ball in front of them, play with great leverage and technique. This is a well-coached football team that you got to go on the road at 11 a.m. and play your very best.
Coach, and it's another road game, and I don't know, this is the sixth week of the season, and by my count, this is your third SEC road game. That's a high number. The good news is that it will cut down on the road games in the second half of the season, but you're a veteran road team by now. I know that sounds silly, but how does that help as you take on this team, especially another early game, which you had 2 weeks ago in Starkville?
Yeah, Paul, that's a good observation. I think our guys handled the road very well. We didn't obviously win the football game, and that's disappointing. But I think we'll handle ourselves well. It's an 11 a.m. start. We did that at Mississippi State with an 11 a.m. start. I think our guys have really understood how to handle themselves. Now we got to go and grind it out. We got to go out and find a way to win because the next five out of six games we play are in Tiger Stadium. So this is a pivotal game for us. We need to go on the road, find a way to play better defense, keep the points down, and continue to be who we are on offense. If we do that, we should be in a pretty good position.
Coach, it came out that you were bringing back a veteran legendary name in LSU history, Pete Jenkins, to help with the defensive line. We're now, as I mentioned, 6 weeks into the season. I think we'd all be curious about what brought you to that decision.
Well, I think it's always about how can we help our guys be the best that they can be. We're not obviously in a situation where we feel like we're full strength. Jimmy Lindsay, who is our defensive line coach, is going through chemotherapy and hasn't been with us all year. You know, John Jancic, who's an extremely capable football coach, is not an experienced defensive line coach. We thought that adding Pete would give us somebody with a lot of technical and tactical experience that could help us. And we're looking at this point of the year where we can play better defense. If we can tweak things a little bit, this would be that opportunity to do so. We're still in the race here. We're still in a good position. We have a great offense. Now it's to find anything that we can to help our defense. And I think Pete can give us some of that experience that can help that room.
Coach, I know that as a head coach, all you can do is prepare your team week to week. And there's a lot that goes into that. The outside noise, I'm sure, is a little bit different. And I don't know how effectively you can keep all that out. But you mentioned the division. Last year, you had a similar situation losing an early game, and you fought your way through it and ended up in Atlanta. Am I to assume that that is now your mantra to the team? Let's get back there.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we got blown out against Tennessee at home. I think we gave up 40 something points. And, you know, I think the state capitol burned that weekend. you know, we bounced back. Our guys went on the road the next weekend at Gainesville and beat Florida at Florida. So, look, we understand the emotion that's involved with SEC football and in particular LSU football. That's what we love about it. That's what makes it so special. But you got to avoid that. I mean, you got to get back to what's important. And what's important for us is to get back to our process, pour into that, and get back to work. And we know what we need to do. It's pretty clear. And we'll begin that process today.
Coach, finally, you unlike some fans and maybe pundits, tried to put a blanket on some of the runaway expectations. And I'm not trying to turn this into a fatalistic question after a tough road loss, but is it fair to say that this program is where you thought it would be, or could you elaborate on exactly where this program is a year and a half into it?
I mean, first year winning the SEC West, second year, you know, obviously sitting right now with one loss in the league, with the best offense in the SEC right now, statistically, you know, I don't know how people perceive that to be. You know, I said this at the start of the year, anytime you take 14 transfers, that's a red flag. You still have holes in your program. We have work to do. I mean, we have to continue to recruit. We have to still build our program. We don't have the depth that I want in terms of developing the players within our own program. So we have some work to do, but I think we're making some incredible headway. We're doing some incredible things, and we're going to keep building our football program to where it's consistent year in and year out, competing for an SEC title.
Well, Coach, we'll leave it there, but I do want to thank you again. I know with what you have in front of you and what you left behind, a lot of coaches would have said, "Hey, you know, I got more important things to do." But this was we're very appreciative of your time today.
My pleasure. Thanks anytime. I'll be on.
Thank you, Coach. Thank you very much, Coach Brian Kelly, joining us from Baton Rouge as the Tigers get ready to head to Como. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. We want to say hello to Matt Hayes, a good friend of ours, talking about a number of subjects, including Jimbo, in just a minute. But, Matt, thanks for being here. You're in Florida. You've covered the Gators for a long time. What's the temperature down there? Not outside, but in relation to Billy Napier today.
It's strange, Paul. It's just very strange. I think there's a lot of people wondering what's going on, why it looks so clunky. It's just nothing looks right now. Nothing is smooth about that operation anywhere on the field, off the field. It just doesn't look right now. The only thing that's positive is the way he's recruiting. And you keep throwing up clunkers like the one they had against Kentucky. I think they're going to be in a situation where you're going to start losing some of that recruiting class.
Yeah, I mean, I thought everything was great 2 weeks ago, as I know you did, Matt, after that important win. But it feels like he gave most, if not all of it back Saturday in Lexington. I mean, because that wasn't just a bad performance. I mean, that was a mess.
Paul, it was hideous. It was, I think it's probably the worst thing that could have happened for Billy Napier this year, because you're talking about a program at Kentucky, which had beaten them 2 years in a row, which, you know, honestly, if you look back at it, they'd won 3 of 5. And if you really look at the, since like 2014, Kentucky should have won probably 2 or 3 other of those games. Like, Kentucky bullies them when they play. And this was a perfect moment to say, you know, it's not going to be that way anymore. And it was probably, not probably, it was easily the worst loss to Kentucky, maybe in, I don't know, Paul, 4 decades, 5 decades. Just a horrific loss, and the way it happened and the way that offensively. And I think this is the biggest problem I think that fans in general have with Billy Napier, Paul, is the offense. It's the look of the offense isn't good. It's not just the quarterback. It's very easy to blame Graham Mertz. He's limited in what he can do. We all knew that. But I think it's the offense. It's schematically, it's structurally what they're doing and what they're trying to do. It doesn't look good. And the reality is this. He, no matter what those titles are on that team, Billy Napier said this, he's the guy that runs the offense. He coaches the quarterbacks. He calls the plays. So this is all on him. And I think that also is where your fans are starting to step back and say, all right, where are we right now?
Talking to Matt Hayes, and Matt, one last question on Florida. You look ahead, I mean, you can do a lot with schedules and trying to anticipate, but what matters most the rest of the way?
I think you got to give these guys something to hold on to, give fans something to hold on to. The Tennessee game was that, and, you know, you and I talked about that in September, Paul. You got to give fans the idea of, okay, this is what it's going to be. This is what it's going to look like. I don't think you can come out with another stink. I mean, Paul, this now becomes a critical game this weekend. Would you ever think that, where Vanderbilt is a critical game for Florida? But they lost to Vanderbilt last year, and they lost by double digits. I don't see that game and think, okay, yeah, that's going to be a walk. That's a game that they can't fool around in that game. They cannot fool around in that game, and then all of a sudden you lose that game. Then it's going to be, I don't know what happens at that point. Then you've got a lot of, then you've got a lot of other noise coming in that's already on top of what you've got in there now.
Yeah, we have the schedule up. I mean, at South Carolina, at LSU, at Missouri, all losable games. We know about Georgia and Florida State. So, I mean, there is a Arkansas and Vanderbilt suddenly become games that you absolutely have to win just to give yourself a chance to land the plane, so to speak. Matt, let me talk about a couple other. Let me get you to talk about a couple of other things. You wrote about Jimbo Fisher today. It's just so weird how suddenly things look pretty good in College Station. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's odd because he lost his quarterback, because, you know, Connor Wiggins out for the season, and Connor Wiggins, I think, was really developing into a really good quarterback in the league. You know, and you go in, and Max Johnson goes there, and they win the first two games on the SEC schedule for the first time ever under Jimbo. And Max Johnson, well, at some point, I think we all should just admit that, you know, this is who he is. He's a guy that takes care of the ball, and he has success. He's got a 48-8 touchdown-interception ratio in his history in the SEC. I don't know how you look at that and think he's not going to play well. You know, and now all these great recruiting classes that Jimbo's had in the last 3-4 years, you're starting to look at a team that's really good on defense, that can get after the quarterback, that can stop the run. It's all set up for him right now, Paul, because Alabama, we don't know what they are week-to-week basis, right? They might have figured out a quarterback, but we don't know that. You look at LSU. LSU can't stop anybody. Ole Miss can't stop anybody. The West is wide open, and if they can get any kind of consistency out of that offense, and that defense plays better than it did against Miami in a big game. Yeah, I mean, I think we could stop talking about Jimbo's contract and maybe start talking about A&M being a legitimate threat in the West.
Matt Hayes with us. Matt, speaking of legitimate, I am heading to Athens this weekend and really need some help on trying to figure out what's going on with this football program. They are in literal fight for their lives against South Carolina at home and Auburn on the road, and nobody can make a case that these are elite teams. I mean, they're pedestrian at best. What's going on with the Dogs?
Paul, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the 2009 Florida team and the 2010 Alabama team. teams that were clearly the elite as far as players and guys and coaches, and they had everything they needed. And it just didn't look right week after week after week. And I don't know if it's because you've already reached the mountaintop and there's nothing there left for you to get, or if motivation is a situation, or if there are side problems somewhere, but it doesn't look right at Georgia right now. And I think we have to embrace it at this point. It's not the same team. It's not going to be the same thing week after week. But I will say this. What happened in the fourth quarter on Saturday, on the Plains, the place is going crazy. That's a tough place to play in, Auburn is. It's loud. They're down in the fourth quarter. And Carson Beck just starts making plays. And I think if you're Kirby Smart, if you're Mike Boba, that's the best thing that could have happened, because now there's a little more trust involved with Carson Beck. Now you can say, all right, now we can maybe open it up a little bit more. Now we see what we've got here. And if they protect a little bit better, I think you're going to see Carson Beck a completely different quarterback from month one to month three in November.
Chatting with Matt Hayes. Matt, as we look at the big picture of college football, people are loving on Texas, Florida State, Washington. I mean, we're 5 weeks into the season, and I can't quite remember one this upside down without really being able to say, hey, that Georgia or Alabama is the best team in the country. I mean, what are your thoughts as we start to get a little deeper into the season on the national championship race?
I don't really know, Paul. And if anyone tells you they do know, they're crazy. Like, you hear people out there, I think Washington's the best team. We don't know what Washington is. I'm not sure we know what anybody is until we get deep into these conference races. I think we'll know more about Georgia next week against Kentucky. I don't know that what Kentucky did against Florida travels and all of a sudden they play on the road and they can run the ball on the road like they did against Florida, or they can play defense like they did against Florida. I don't know that Texas A&M can win at home at Alabama, or that if Alabama suddenly, Jalen Milroe becomes a thrower, more of a thrower week after week. But I think by probably mid-October, late October, we're going to start to understand where each one of these conference races kind of plays out. I think the safest bet right now, honestly, Paul, is probably the two teams in the Big Ten, Ohio State and Michigan. After that, I don't know. I don't know of anyone right now until we let this thing play out a little bit.
Okay, I was hoping you could tell me, but I guess the answer is we don't know. Matt, thank you. Always great to catch up with Matt Hayes joining us from Saturday Down South. He also does a talk show down in northern Florida. We'll take a short break. More of your phone calls right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
What an afternoon it has been. We've already heard the ramblings, hysterical ramblings of our man Dwayne down in New Orleans. We heard Brian Kelly, a very cerebral, intelligent message about where the program currently is. Now the paralegal from the Big Easy.
Paul, you know how this is going to go. You know I'm not a reactionary, but I got to say this about BK. He faced the music by coming on the show today, because this was obviously not easy for him. You could tell he was not comfortable, but he showed up, so I give him that. But, after the game, during the game, I called for his firing. Called him Fred Flintstone.
Hold on, Augie. You called,
yep, for
his firing. She's firing?
Yes.
During
in
the
middle
game?
Of the game. In the middle of the game. Yes. Yes. I called his defense trash, a bunch of bums. No pride, no class, no desire. I didn't see any of those things. And if you did, I need you to point it out to me where you saw it. I don't even know if you saw the game or not. But that was the worst defense in 50-plus years at LSU. I've never seen a defense that bad.
Worse than Bo Pelini 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Yes, yes, yes. Worse than Pelini. Paul, they should have lost the week before against Arkansas. You said you saw that game.
Well, I thought that was just a great effort by Arkansas. I was fooled.
Well, look what happened to Arkansas this week. What Arkansas is. Arkansas is nothing. They're nothing except when they play against LSU. And I don't see anything I'm saying as reactionary. I don't see it as reactionary. This wasn't a close loss in the terms of it was a 21-17 game. Did you see what that defense didn't do? It was like a high school football game, Paul. These receivers were open and not a white shirt around. It was embarrassing. So Did you hear Brian Kelly say he needs to tweak things a little?
Yeah,
tweak
sure.
them a little?
Yeah, a little bit.
Not a little. If this was some kind of gastrointestinal problem, he needs an enema immediately. He's a barium enema or something like that. I don't know what the guy did in the off season. I mean, did he not see what he had in terms of players? I mean, what was it that he didn't see that now he's realizing? And isn't that what a coach and a staff is supposed to do? And, you know, we're not in the – this isn't your father's time period anymore, Paul, with transfer portal. You can't tell me he couldn't have got some better guys to come in. There got to be some JUCO players that could have come in to at least be in the practice team to make the starters better. That defensive line was horrible. And my question to him is, when are we going to have a defense we can be proud of? You know, he's talking about winning the West. Is he nuts? Is he nuts? Do you think he feels his seat hot right now?
No, I do not.
So it's okay and acceptable to see what we're seeing week in.
Why would Brian Kelly's seat be hot after exceeding expectations in year one? And there's no – I mean, everybody may think that LSU is out of the West. I don't believe that.
Well, that's the one saving grace for him is that the SEC is down this year. Paul, I said at the beginning of the year, you said we can't talk about that, but the SEC is not the dominant power this year as it was. It's obvious. I mean, even you see that. But come on. He is regressing, Paul. I said at the beginning of the year, LSU, best case, 8-4. And 7-5 would be a disaster. He's on the road to 7-5. And if he ends up at 7-5, it's not going to be a pretty off season. His recruiting.
I only see one more possible loss on the schedule.
One more possible loss? Are you crazy?
No, I am.
What about
A&M? I may be crazy, yes, but I don't.
What about?
I see one game that is a toss up. The rest of them, I see LSU winning.
Okay, what's your toss up? Bama.
Alabama.
There is no way. There is no way. Alabama has a good defense, and I'm not saying we may not have the best offense in the SEC.
Augie,
maybe
the difference
we do.
Between the two of us is I am not a fan. I'm trying to be neutral. I'm trying to be calm about
it. I am
this.
Trying to be rational, but
rational?
I'm telling you, yes.
I mean, you with a straight face ask me if I think Brian Kelly is on the hot seat, and I think he's one of the five or six best coaches in the country. Are you crazy? You're the one that may be crazy in this conversation.
Well, maybe I am, but Paul, you are locked in and loaded and sold in Brian Kelly. It's like you're holding swamp land, and you're going to defend it to the end.
I know a good coach when I see one, and I'm with you. I thought they should have won the game. They came back after just getting knocked out seemingly in the first round. They came back and they had everything in hand, and then they just couldn't tackle and they couldn't do anything right.
I only see two wins in this schedule.
Won the game at the end.
Well, that's another thing. Ole Miss is acting like they're some kind of great team. They're like 2 inches better than us. We just suck a little worse.
Well, think about this. Everybody criticized Bill O'Brien and Pete Golding. Bill O'Brien put up 3 points yesterday in a 38-3 loss for the Patriots, and Pete Golding gave up 9,000 yards in a win.
I wouldn't have hired any of those guys. You know, Paul, my guy that I wanted before we hired BK, and I didn't even know BK was in play, so it wasn't like he was really something I thought about. I wanted Hugh Freeze, and look what Hugh Freeze did this weekend. Tell me that guy's not doing a good job at Auburn. Tell me.
Of course he is.
So I think we missed out. Now I think we need to get on the Prime bandwagon because I think Prime has turned Colorado around. That was a pretty good game. They didn't give up. They came back. They fought. So don't write Colorado off as just a flash in the pan. They played a damn good game.
Your team was within one throw at the end of the game of winning, and you're acting like
– Against Ole Miss. Against Ole Miss.
Ole Miss has a terrific offense.
Yeah, that's why they got 10 points against Bama. Paul.
Well, the difference in that game was Judkins was nowhere to be found.
Let me just one real quick last thing. I went to the Ole Miss game in New Orleans when they played Tulane. Tulane did not have their starting quarterback, Pratt. It took Tulane it took Ole Miss until the end of the third quarter really start pulling away from Tulane.
Ole Miss was two of their most effective offensive weapons were banged up in that game.
Well, Tulane didn't have a quarterback. Anyway, Paul, LSU is a
really don't care whether Tulane ever has
disaster.
A quarterback.
They beat USC last year in a bowl game. But, hey, I want BK to be successful. But at this rate, he's not giving us anything to jump on his bandwagon.
Fans like yours are going to be his undoing. If he's watching this, and I know he's not. And by the way, I'm not defending. I mean, I'm not in anybody's back pocket. I give opinions, but I'm also trying to be realistic.
Well, I want to be realistic too. I know it's a reactionary thing to say the guy's got to go. I think he was utterly embarrassed and humiliated. You could tell that from his press conference. I think he was about to cry. I want him to turn this around. I want him to be the guy. But this is just crazy. I can't recall the last time this has happened, that Mississippi State game after we won the national title. But that was Ed O. We know what Ed O is. This is Brian Kelly. We expect a lot more, not regression. Anyway, Paul, I think we're going to get beat in Missouri. I just think we're going to get beat, and that's going to be an utter humiliation.
Augie, once again, you are going to be wrong.
Okay, I hope you're right, Paul.
I'm moving all the chips onto the middle of the table for the Missouri game.
Okay,
you're going to take Eli Drinkwitz in a chess match with Brian Kelly. Is that what you're telling me?
You know, okay. If they lose this game, Paul, I'm going to be your first caller Monday and then I will apologize and say I was wrong and I was overreacting again.
By the way, I don't mind that, Augie. I'm a talk show host, okay?
I know.
I'm an NPR social media analyst.
Well, Paul,
More here on All Things Considered. We'll take a look at the Dow Jones, the situation in Ukraine, the migrant problem in California, and why oranges cost more this year for Halloween. Oh, pumpkins, I'm sorry. I've read the teleprompter wrong. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.